Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, welcoming you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live, on the air, and online right now, so you can be a part of the broadcast. If you have a question or need direction for the troublesome issues of real life, we invite you to call now. The number, 844-32-BASIC. That's 844-32-BASIC. Or the full number, 844-322-2742. This is Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, folks, we have a very special guest with us today, Tim Stevenson. Tim has been a longtime friend of mine, a mentor. When I first joined the ministry way back in 1982, Tim was a part of the ministry then, and God has used him in such significant ways in my own life. I look to him as a friend and a mentor, and we're excited to have Tim with us today. Today, Tim is head of his own, corporation business.
Yes.
It's the Stevenson Leadership Coaching Group, and he helps people develop leadership skills and leads organizations and that sort of thing. And we're honored to have you with us today, Tim.
Bob, it's a great pleasure to be back with old friends, and yes. Thank you for the invitation.
Well, you are so welcome. You've written a book, and that's what we're going to talk about today. It's a book called Better, and if those of you have listened to Basic Gospel for very long, you know that is a significant word as far as our ministry is concerned, because we're always talking about the better covenant, the new covenant, and how Jesus is better and more and superior to everything that's ever been. And so today we're going to talk about Tim's book entitled Better. It's about leadership, the fundamentals of leadership. On the back cover, you talk about the ABC. So you're getting to the basics, the essentials.
Right. When I first started to work on this, I did an internet search looking for books on leadership, and 407 million came up.
407 million books on leadership.
So why did we need one more? Well, it's interesting. I've read dozens and dozens of books on leadership, and I've been a student of leadership my whole career. And though there are many I like very much and have benefited from, I don't know one that taught the fundamentals. It really takes you from ABCs, what anybody needs to know who wants to function as a leader.
Now, you started the book with a story that I love about Vince Lombardi, and why did you start the book that way? I love that story, and what were you hoping to communicate in sharing that?
Okay, the story in brief was one time the Packers in the 1960s were playing poorly, and finally Lombardi got frustrated enough, he just blew his stack, and so he got in front of the team, and he said, "Boys, we're going back to basics. We're going back to fundamentals. We're going back to the ABCs." He held up a football and he said, "Gentlemen, this is a football." And, of course, it broke the mood with laughter at the time. But the reason I started with that story is people talk about leadership all the time. Most people think they know a leader when they see one, but I want to question that. What is it a leader anyway? And so to write a book on leadership on the fundamentals, you have to start with what is a leader. So I shared my definition, which I first borrowed from Dr. Howard Hendricks many, many years ago. You are a leader if you know where you're going and are able to persuade others to go along with you. That's the irreducible definition. There's much more to leadership than that, but it can't be less than that.
Right.
If you don't know where you're going, all you can do is start a party or, I guess, maybe a riot.
Yeah. We've got plenty of both.
That's right. And if you know where you're going but you can't get anyone to go with you, then you're going as a solo show.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you have to be able to do both fundamentally, and then we build on that.
Well, does it take a certain personality type to be a leader, you know, as far as politicians are concerned? You know, we want tall people and we want this and we want that. And it seems like we have, you know, something in our minds as far as what a leader is to look like, what he's to sound like, how he's to conduct himself. But is that true? Can anyone be a leader?
I think that's one of the most important questions to face. And that is, do you have to have a certain temperament, personality, and other makeup? I challenge that conventional view. I call it the conventional model of a leader, that you have to be tall, good-looking, extroverted, verbally adept.
Kind of like me.
I had you in mind when I came up with that. And no, the fact is no. History disproves that. Current leadership in organizations, companies, disproves that over and over again. yet I think there's something in human beings that naturally causes us to be attracted to that. But that's not enough to be a good leader. In fact, some of the greatest leaders in the history of the world do not fit that model.
Yeah, don't fit that model at all.
No.
And I think that's very important that anyone can be a leader.
And if I'm asked, can anyone become a leader? I say almost anyone can improve as a leader. You know, I'm not going to go so far as to say anybody can become a world-class leader by just working hard or studying hard. And we have capabilities that are, that God has given us. But people who are well-meaning and want to make things better and learn the fundamentals of leadership can improve. And by the way, General Eisenhower said exactly the same thing. He said the leadership of men is one of the few things that can be learned and put into practice and improved through study and effort. And I agree with that.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting. You know, we see all the problems out there in the world, and there are some folks that would say that all of these problems stem from a crisis of leadership. We don't have real leaders that actually know where they're going and can persuade others to follow. And I think that's true in the church, too. I think there is a crisis of leadership within the body of Christ. We don't understand the essentials of the faith, and so we're just shooting at all sorts of things out there and missing it, you know, by incredibly wide marks. So that's why this is so important as far as a discussion on the Basic Gospel broadcast is concerned, because we strongly believe that more and more Christians need to rise up and truly take a stand on the gospel of Jesus Christ, to know that that's the place where you want to lead anyone that comes into your sphere of influence. You want to lead them to that gospel of Jesus Christ. You know where you want to take them. And you know that as a church leader, as a pastor, that your team is organized to take people to that spot as well. And we just believe that there is a real crisis in leadership in that regard. And I'm sure you've witnessed that in your experience and in your relationships and in your business. And so why is this leadership, becoming better leaders, so important as far as the church is concerned and the gospel of Jesus Christ is concerned?
You pointed to several important points there. In regard to that one, I work with both secular leaders and companies and organizations, and I've worked with a number of pastors and churches as well. And even in widely differing industries, if I can call the church an industry as opposed to, say, a for-profit corporation, the leadership issues are the same. I run into the same things over and over again wherever I am. And one of the things I've learned working with spiritual leaders is that these are generally men and women who are spiritual. They do love Christ. They do want to advance the kingdom of God. And yet they're still human beings and sometimes forget their humanness. And they also, no matter how well they know the Bible, no matter how well they can teach or preach, it is still necessary to understand human beings and how to get them to willingly follow you. Because in the church, you're not giving them a paycheck.
You can't
order anybody to do anything. And, of course, most churches have struggled with how do you find more volunteers, people coming forward to serve willingly. Well, that's really a leadership issue when you get down to it, the ability to cast a vision that people are intrinsically motivated to want to be a part of, and they want to help build something, and they're motivated properly. Those are all leadership issues. So it doesn't matter how spiritual you are or how theologically adept you are, you still have to work with people.
That's the whole deal. If it just weren't for people, everything would be okay.
Ministry would be great.
Yeah, it would just be okay.
But that brings up an issue, because one of the things we hear in churches a lot is that, oh, yeah, I can't be a leader, because people's idea of leadership is that you've got to stand up in front of 20,000 people and somehow convince them of something. But I'm getting the sense from the part of the book I've read thus far is that you don't look at it that way. How is it that leadership applies in the small?
Great question, Richard. Thank you. Many people have the misconception that unless they have a position of authority over a group, they're not interested in leadership. Mm-hmm. Well, that's not true. Even a person who has a business, a sole proprietor business where they don't manage anyone, the qualities that lead to leadership are also the ones that make a good salesperson.
Okay.
I just spoke to a national meeting of salespeople who sell highly technical IT kind of equipment, and I shared that with them. I said, look at these fundamentals. These are the very same things that will make you successful. So let's bring it back to the church. All Christians are called to follow Christ and grow in discipleship. We are all called to grow in maturity, which means getting to know Christ better and better and learning how to let him live through us, right? Now, what does that produce if you do it? Well, first thing it produces is someone who is a servant. Because yeah. Jesus said, if you're going to follow me, the path is servanthood. He said, if you want to be great in my kingdom, you become the servant of all. So this is the one kingdom in the world that you descend to leadership. It's by learning yes. servanthood. But I'll tell you what happens the next step. When you have somebody who gets to know Christ and then they become an excellent lifestyle servant, that person becomes a leader, mm-hmm. which is a person of influence for Christ inside the church and outside the church. Okay, so whether you actually teach a class, whether you lead a group, that's not the important point. It's becoming the person God wants you to be in fuller potential and then being used by him wherever your sphere of influence is, which might be at a job, it might be in a neighborhood or a school.
Well, this is Basic Gospel. Tim Stevenson is our special guest today. Richard Pfeiffer is here. I'm Bob Christopher. We thank you for joining us as well. We're talking about Tim's book entitled Better, The Fundamentals of Leadership, subtitle, What You Must Know and Do If You Want Others to Follow You. And I know there's plenty of people in our audience that would be very interested in reading this book. We have a website set up that you can go to and order a copy. It is basicgospel.net/better. So it's basicgospel.net/better. And if you buy a book today or, you know, in the next week or two from this website, a portion of the proceeds of the sale of that book will come back to Basic Gospel. So you will help be advancing the mission and work of Basic Gospel through your purchase of Tim's book, Better. And again, that website, basicgospel.net/better. basicgospel.net/better. Well, Tim, what I've always liked about you as a teacher, as a mentor, is your ability to break down complex ideas and problems and provide easy-to-understand solutions. I don't know that I've met anyone with that skill as developed as you. And I've come away from many times listening to you on various passages in the Bible, on various issues on leadership, and I'm scratching my head and saying, gosh, he made it so simple. Why couldn't I have seen that? And you've written this book in that same style. It is so easy to follow. You have put in some incredible tools in this book so people can get the big picture, can understand what you're going to be talking about, then they can dive in into a particular chapter and really get a deep understanding of what you say, and then at the end you summarize that again, so they're going to walk away with these points fully ingrained in their mind. So I love the way that you put this, and one of the things that you've done is you have divided it up, and you have presented the 10 propositions of leadership. And each one of these builds on the other, but you start with kind of the currency of leadership. Talk to us a little bit about what that is and how important that particular proposition is as far as development of leadership skills.
Okay, so if we have defined a leader as someone who knows where they're going and able to persuade others to go along with them, the natural question is, why do followers follow a leader? And it really boils down to very simple points. And the most important one is because of that they trust that leader. The leader knows what he or she is doing. They have their best interests at heart. They're going someplace good. The future will be better once they get there. And this leader can be trusted. So you hear words like trustworthiness, believability, which are kind of clumsy words, but they say it. And the word I choose is credibility. So if I were going to pick one of these propositions as the master principle, it's the first one. The currency of leadership is credibility. Credibility is other people's estimation of how much we can be trusted to know what we're doing and be going to the right place. It rises or falls based on how we're performing, how we're behaving. Because that credibility is made up of two major things. One is our professional competence or competence in whatever field it is. In other words, do I know my subject and know what I'm doing? But secondly, my personal conduct, which is behavior. And Richard and I were talking earlier about his corporate experience, how many times he had seen people promoted because of their professional competence,
yes,
but whose behavior was terrible.
Yep.
And they failed as leaders as a result. So you have to have both. So constantly being aware of the effect you're having on others, the leadership effect, is a combination of your competence and your character and behavior. And so understanding that it causes you to understand, as a leader, the spotlight is always on me. I'm always in public view, and how I speak and behave is going to raise or lower that level, which is my leadership power over others and with others.
Yeah. So credibility really is a big thing, and we certainly understand that as far as ministry is concerned. And you said something there that I think is very important. You know, leaders want to take people to a better future.
Yes.
So, you know, we see that certainly in this election cycle. You know, each candidate is casting a vision for what they think a better future would look like. And, you know, the one that has the most credibility, the one that, you know, people think is actually going to be able to do that, is probably going to be the one that wins. But why is that so important? Why is it important? I mean, I think the biblical word for that is hope.
Yes.
That's what we want to instill as leaders, is a sense of hope. How important is that?
Well, that's proposition number two, which is the goal of leadership is a better future. I think it's common sense that no one will knowingly follow a leader someplace worse. Now, many times in the history of the world, leaders have led people and even whole nations to disaster,
yes,
but the people believed it would be better if they followed. They just proved to be wrong or trust the wrong person. I think there are ways to touch the human heart that just because of how God has made us. Now, number one, we all have a need for encouragement. That's part of that hope, that the future can be better, and I can do these hard things I'm trying to do. Second, to be a part of something greater than myself. That's why great leaders in world history have led movements, you know, who things that might have started very small and then got large as people were enlisted to follow. And people have an innate desire to be and do better than they have been before. And most of us need the help of a coach, a teacher, a trainer, a pastor, someone to help us stretch and often do things a little out of our comfort zone. But once we do it, we look back with gratitude for the rest of our lives on people who did that.
Yes, yes, indeed. I remember a couple of people in my life early on. I went to a tennis camp, and I used to play a lot of tennis as a kid in junior high and high school. And our whole tennis team, high school tennis team, went to this camp, and the coach pulled me aside and said, "Bob, you could go as far in tennis as you want to go." Never forget that. And that was hope. That was an encouragement. He was saying to me that there is a bright future ahead for you.
Right.
And then I remember one time at the church that I attended growing up, there was a missionary lady there, and she was just telling incredible stories about what was happening on the mission field. And I had been sensing a tug in my heart to be a part of ministry, and I went up to talk to her, and, you know, I said something about the Apostle Paul, and she said, "Bob, the world needs more people like that who will stand and deliver the good news of Jesus Christ." And that always registered with me. And again, it was somebody saying, you know, "I want to encourage you. I want to give you hope." And you're exactly right. We all need that to move forward in life. We need that encouragement. We need that hope. And that's why I love that you've put this as a leadership proposition. The saying that, hey, here's where we are today. If we'll follow this path, here's what it'll look like tomorrow. Now, that's really the promise of the gospel, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
I mean, we're weary, we're tired, we're blistered inside, we're thirsty, we're hungering for something more, we're anxious, we're fearful, we're full of shame and guilt and all of those sort of things, and we keep asking ourselves, is there something better? Is there a better life? Is there a better way? And the gospel answers all of that.
Absolutely. Because of our lostness before Christ comes into our lives, we all have a sense of incompleteness.
Yeah.
We have a sense we're missing something. And of course, in this world, people have a variety of ways of trying to find the answer. But you see, how could a Christian leader build on that, which is understanding human desires that God has built in us, that to be a part of something, that what is bigger than the kingdom of God? What is a higher purpose than God using us on a daily basis for his purposes to represent Christ in the world? And so Christian leaders who will remember what they've learned about human nature from the Bible, which tells you exactly the truth.
Yeah.
If you know human nature, then you know how to appeal to those things which move people from the inside.
Yes, absolutely. It's that heart connection.
Yeah.
You want to connect the gospel to the hearts of people. You as an individual, as a leader, you want to connect to people on that heart level. And that doesn't negate the intellect. You want to connect there, but you want it to be a combination.
Right.
You don't want people just to follow something because they have the facts right. You want it to be an actual experience. You want them to know the reality of what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. You want them to actually experience peace in their heart. So
right.
it's a powerful thing. Well, we have just a couple of more minutes, and I tell you, this time yeah. just flies.
It sure does.
And we may have to do this again at a later date. But
could I add this for the listeners who have not read the book? It's not specifically a Christian book.
Right.
It is written for a general audience because
right.
most of my work is representing Christ in the world at this stage of my career. I'm very explicit in it that I am a Christian in when I became one, and that
right.
it forms my values and worldview.
Right.
Okay, so
right.
Just make that, because I'm on this program with you, I'm talking very openly about Christ,
yeah.
which I can't always do in the secular sphere.
Right. I understand. But I'm telling you, folks, that this book is worth the read. It really is. I recommend it highly. Tim is just a brilliant teacher. He's just an excellent writer. So the book is available at basicgospel.net/better. That's the name of the book, Better. So basicgospel.net/better. Order a copy today. I know you're going to be blessed by that. Last thing I want to talk about as far as your book is concerned, Proposition 4 is the backbone of leadership is conviction. And again, that's something that we don't see a lot of out there in the world. And we don't see a lot of that out there as far as the church is concerned, as far as believers are concerned. Why is this so important?
Well, as I say, the backbone of leadership is conviction means people believe something. A leader gets up and says, I believe these things to be true. These are my values. These are my priorities. And these are not changeable. Now, in a real world of leadership, you have to be ready to adapt and change to an incredible number of variables and changing things. But there's some things that cannot change if you're going to keep your shape.
Yes.
It's like a skeleton, as I
yeah.
say in the book.
Yeah. I know one of my prayers early on is, Lord, make me a man of conviction that I know what I know what I know. And I think we need a lot of people praying that prayer to give us some backbone and to be able to stand up as believers in Christ and say, Jesus is truly the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through him. Well, Tim, like I said, this flew by today.
This isn't enough.
That's right. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, both
yeah,
of you.
Yeah, this is a real honor for me to have somebody that has meant so much in my life be here on the radio broadcast. So thank you for joining us. We'll do it again. For our listeners, if you're interested in learning more about the fundamentals of leadership, go to the website basicgospel.net/better, order your copy. You will be blessed by this. Tim is an excellent writer. He breaks leadership down in just bite-sized chunks, and once you get to the end of it, you will be a better leader for reading it. I guarantee it. Well, thank you for joining us, Tim. Thanks for being here. Thanks to Richard. Thanks to the whole Basic Gospel team. We'll be here for a teaching edition tomorrow. We'll see you then.